From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey will be along with today's agricultural news, and then we'll hear from Pam Johnson, who is the president of the National Corn Growers Association, and how she sees the fiscal cliff deal and what she's looking forward to with the farm bill. And it all happens during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat settled 8.25 cents lower at $7.47 and a quarter. July futures at $7.63 and a quarter, a settlement price down 8 cents for the day. The hard red in Kansas City for the July at $8.24 and a quarter in the harvest month, 3 cents lower. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, this one's a close now, $6.81 and a half, down 7 3/4. May at 2 o'clock this afternoon, down 9 cents at $6.82. July corn at $6.75, finished 11 and a half lower. In September futures there at $5.97 and a half, rather $5.97 even, down 12 and a half. In December futures at $5.72, 15 and a half lower on its close. Next year's March at $5.83 and 3/4, 13 and a half cents lower. Remember, these are closes and not settlement prices, so they probably will change. January contract in the soybeans, the settlement here at $13.89, down 14 cents. The March at $13.67 and a quarter, down 19 and a quarter. And the May futures at $13.58 and a half, down 19 and 3 quarters. July soybeans, $13.55, settled 21 and a half lower. And the August contract, $13.37, down 19 and a quarter. Next year's November at $12.77, finished 14 and 3 quarters of a cent lower. Bean meal futures, $7.40 lower on its settlement at $3.98.20, and the bean oil at $49.42. down 79 cents. Live cattle futures on the afternoon, the Feb's at 132.95, down 90. April 55 lower at 136.77 and a half. January feeders at 153.17 and a half, up 82 and a half. The March at 156.32 and a half, up $1.42 and a half. And lean hogs finished the April at 89.85, down 32 and a half cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures February contract, $92.89 a barrel, finished 3 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline at 275 and 9 tenths, that's down 3 and 8 tenths of a cent. Ethanol at 217, its lead option down 9 tenths of a cent. And the spread between the two is 58 and 9 tenths of a cent. That's 2 and 9 tenths of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. February natural gas at 328, up 8 and 2 tenths of a cent. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3 a penny and 2 tenths. A penny and 2 tenths lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,648.90 an ounce, down $25.70, and the dollar at 80.5. That's up 0.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 32 degrees on a west-southwest wind at 10 to 14 miles an hour. Mostly clear this evening, a low of 19. Again, that west-southwest wind at 7 to 10. And then tomorrow, a chance of snow. Afternoon, 40% chance, that is. Increasing clouds, a high near 35. Tomorrow evening, a chance of flurries, a little freezing drizzle, a low of 25. And Sunday, sunny skies, rather mostly cloudy skies, and a high of 30 degrees on a west-northwest wind at 9 to 14. Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 16 degrees. When we get up back on the road with the Corn and Soybean Classic Series right here in Urbana-Champaign at the IO Hotel on Monday, it'll be sunny. We'll have a high of 35 degrees. Headed to Mount Vernon that evening, we'll be driving through partly cloudy skies and a low of 25 and spend the day in Mount Vernon with sunny skies and a high of 40 degrees before we head to Springfield on Wednesday and show partly sunny skies with a high of 42 degrees. We'll be, of course, at the Crown Plaza there in Springfield with the Corn and Soybean Classic. Walk-ins are welcome at all those events. We sure do hope that we see you then. The weather forecast, by the way, comes up in detail at the bottom of this half hour. This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to us from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can always visit us online at willag.org. There you'll find a link to subscribe and register for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. It should be a really fun one. January the 25th, that evening, Orion Samuelson will be in to dine with us at the Bevere Hall Spice Box. And you'll get to listen to myself and Jackie Vakes, Wayne Nelson. Paul Cooley will be there. Steve Freed, Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Service, will be along. And Gary Schnitke, all of us at the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event, a fundraiser for the College of ACES. If you haven't signed up yet, please do so. We're filling up quickly, so you might want to hit that right now at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
This is the fourth day of January 2012, rather 13. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us. Mike Zuzolo, he's a global commodity analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy New Year, Todd.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. On the flip side, things have turned lower and they keep drifting down in the commodity markets.
I think most of the producers out there probably are going to be very glad to see the holidays go, because ever since the 29th of November, we've lost anywhere from 10 to 13% in our grain prices. And it's been kind of like watching the Hindenburg land here the last 30 days, quite frankly.
That was a fiery problem there. So hopefully it won't be that much of a crash and burn, but I suppose we'll float a bit lower. How far down do you think we can go?
Well, I think that if the analysis is accurate, that we got the fiscal deal, most of the commodities and asset classes went higher after the fiscal deal. Grains did not, and that since that happened, that kind of gave me the idea and bias that maybe the commodity trading funds and more the algo trading funds that are more computer technically oriented would try and continue to press this market into the report next week. And when they get new and fresh data, along with some of the commodity index shifts that will happen next week, maybe I think we'll see some profit taking and some position squaring ahead of the report. So I think we made some strides today with the wheat market, Todd. We did see the wheat corn spread, which was down 6 cents to 8 cents at one point in the day, a bid offer. We ended up getting that back up 2.5 cents to the wheat side. We also saw the bean spread come around thanks to the basis. So I think we're carving our bottom out here as we get close to next Thursday's report. And I'd look for probably the majority of the profit taking and short covering, if I'm right about these types of funds that are involved in this recent break, probably to occur around the Monday-Tuesday time frame.
Yeah, some of the fresh information that they receive is actually already coming in. It'll come in completion, of course, when the USDA reports both the crop production, and that's the final one for the year,
yeah,
and the grain stocks report are released by USDA. But, of course, there's always folks releasing some numbers ahead of time. Did you see the Informa numbers and some others today?
Yeah, Informa came out. They were the big mover in the markets around mid-session, in my view. We saw both a yield increase of 0.8 of a bushel in beans and 1 bushel per acre in the corn. So production in corn went up 75 million bushels. I think that if you were probably in the analytical world, you're probably expecting about 100 million bushels reduction in demand between exports and FSI. So you're talking about maybe adding a 175 number in terms of added supply to the carryover level, puts you around 825. I think at this price level of March corn trading that 680 level, I think we've certainly priced in an 825, maybe even bigger carryover at this point. And in the beans with the 65 million bushel production increase, I think that probably could be offset with the 75 million bushel increase in exports and crush. So in actuality, I think it may be likely that we see a 120 carryover come in next week, because the demand offsets the production increase if we see one, like Informa's talking about. I think bottom lining it, the mindset of the trade, they would not handle a bean export decline very well at this stage of the game, given the Chinese bean cancellations, because I think the trade's assuming that the Chinese are buying or selling out of their high-priced beans, repurchasing them at lower levels. So while we've probably factored in as a trade a decrease in the corn demand, I think a bean demand decrease, especially exports, would not be a friendly fundamental factor at all.
Are you looking to, and at one point we were talking about wheat trying to lead this marketplace.
Right.
Are you looking to soybeans to take that over and pull the rest of the complex up?
No, I don't think that's likely at this stage of the game. I think that the trade's probably going to have to get back on a weather bias for the beans before we can get. I think the trade's going to have to get on a weather bias, Todd, regardless, and it seems to me that the most stark and obvious weather issue is the Southern Plains and the Central Plains drought. And if we do shut down the Mississippi River, maybe that is bearish in terms of cash sales and getting product to the poor. But what the cause of that that river shutdown potentially going to happen, what that cause would be, is the actual drought itself. And I think that more than offsets the negativity. So I still think the wheat, but between both the demand side of the equation and the demand pickup, the fact that the Paris wheat is so premium to the Chicago wheat right now, and given the drought that we have going on right now, I still look for the wheat to be the major mover after the report comes out next week.
Why so much of a premium for Paris?
Well, I think part of it is currency. I think part of it goes back to these high-frequency quantitative funds. I think that we're only losing wheat demand when it comes to feed wheat, but when it comes to high quality wheat, we are the best game in town in the price by a long shot at this point. I think Paris closed at about a $60 a ton premium to our futures. So even with transportation, we have probably a $20 to $30 discount compared to them. And I think, you know, I'm not the only one in the market, I think, saying this. I think there was a note put out by Dow Jones yesterday and one of the major commodity bank funds that trade are also saying this is not a supply demand issue in the wheat. This seems to be something other than fundamentals, this recent price break. So I attribute it to the funds and the high frequency people and the people that are more motivated by computer models than they are motivated by fundamentals. And they simply don't have anybody pushing back right now at this stage.
Well, will the computers give up eventually then?
Well, I think that's where the USDA report and the oversold conditions and the Fibonacci retracements all come together and say, okay, computer model traders, is this the right place to be? And, the algorithmic traders do build models that put in the USDA data as soon as that USDA data comes in. I mean, some of them do. I'm stereotyping and generalizing.
Right.
But, you know, they do look at that data, and if we would get a neutral to friendly report, I think, yeah, they'd probably turn away from being net short wheat, which they'll probably be net short over 20,000 contracts by today's commitment of traders data.
Have you been watching the corn and soybean spread, and has that ratio changed enough that you think that it changes acreage?
Yes, the ratio is pointing, now that we've gotten the new crop ratio in the Nove bean Dease corn spread up to that almost 2.25 level, I think you are probably starting to attract some bean acres at this stage of the game, especially if you didn't go after really high-priced cash rent and you aren't locked into corn on corn to get the most profitability on a good crop. So I think you are starting to turn some heads with that ratio. It's probably too early in the game for producers to really hard and fast turn, but I think they're certainly looking at it.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, she's the winter meeting season, and if you don't know where to go in the next few weeks, it's not because we don't have something going on at WILL. You can find it all on our website at willag.org. Just hit calendar. Voices of Illinois Agriculture, the Corn and Soybean Classics Series, the Pork Expo, the Soybean Summit, all coming up, and our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. They're all listed there, a whole bunch of Ag Outlook panels, too, at willag.org. Just hit calendar. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, minutes of the Fed's December 11th, 12th, policy meeting released yesterday show that officials are divided about when to halt bond buying programs, with a few wanting to continue the programs until year end, several others wanting to end the programs well before then, and some wanting to halt them right away. If the Fed buys bonds at the current pace through the end of the year, it will be expanding its $2.9 trillion portfolio by another $1.02 trillion. The Fed made clear in the minutes released yesterday that officials remain preoccupied with the uncertainties about the benefits of the programs and their potential costs. Farmers received some significant tax victories in the legislation designed to avert the fiscal cliff. As we delve deeper into the bill, we see chief among them are provisions renewing generous write-offs for equipment purchases and permanent exemptions that spare moderate-sized farm estates from federal tax. One major surprise was renewal of Section 179 and bonus depreciation rules that have allowed high-income farm operations to shelter sizable incomes. The bill extends 50% bonus depreciation through the end of 2013. It also hikes Section 179 deductions to the old 2010-11 level of $500,000 for 2012 and 2013. Without the change, Section 179 would have been $139,000 for 2012 and reverted back to $25,000 for 2013. Another key rule lifts the ceiling on equipment eligible for Section 179. Now, for equipment purchased between January 1st of 2012 and December 31st of 2013, purchases up to $2 million each year will be eligible. Until the change was made, assets of $560,000 and up triggered a phase-out of Section 179. So, for example, producers who purchased two combines may have found themselves ineligible. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record this evening at about 4:30 and post it to our website by about 6 o'clock Central Time. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural commodities and futures trading. Our special guest this week, Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois, on the phone line as well. Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett will be in studio from TGM along with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, won't you join me Friday, the 25th day of this month at 6 o'clock for an evening of agricultural camaraderie. We'll share a little Illinois wine, eat some great Grand Championship pork, hear stories from Paul Cooley, do a little Ag Outlook with Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, and the Vice President of Research for ADM Investor Services, Steve Freed, along with U of I's Gary Schnittke. And best of all, we'll dine with Orion Samuelson. Your $100 ticket buys the meal, the show, and a signed copy of the Big O's new book. Even better, the funds raised will support the College of ACES Agricultural Communications and Hospitality Management programs, two of my favorites. It's all online at willag.org. Look for Voices of Illinois Agriculture or call 217-333-9355. That's 217-333-9355. Now, up next, you know, severe disappointment is how the National Corn Growers Association President Pam Johnson described her feelings about the Farm Bill extension passed by Congress as part of the fiscal cliff deal, but she is hopeful the new year will bring a new attitude in Congress.
We don't support an extension of the 2008 Farm Bill. We worked very hard to see reform come to that, and we don't approve of direct payments or extending those direct payments. We didn't ask for them. We don't want them. That being said, we know where we are now. It's a new Congress, the 113th Congress. We're more than willing to come back to the table and sit down and work with those leaders so that we can get a five-year comprehensive farm bill.
Johnson says NCGA is pleased with the estate tax provisions in the fiscal cliff package, which includes a 40% rate on estates valued at more than $5 million. That's up from the previous 35% rate, but still far less than the 55% top rate on $1 million estates that were scheduled to become permanent.
That is a huge deal for farm families. Most of the equity that we worked so hard for over our lifetime goes right back into improving the farm and improving it for the next generation. And so with the high prices we're having right now, which in turn lead to a higher valuation of everything that we own, whether it's the land, the building, and the machinery, we're at a point right now where it doesn't take a very large size farm to be able to have to be concerned about not being able to pass that down to the next generation.
That, of course, is NCGA President Pam Johnson.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Do farmers begin to move grain just after the beginning of the year?
No, actually, cash movement has been really quiet since the first of the year. The biggest activity, of course, was picking checks up on Wednesday. Active there. There was a lot of cash flow because of that. Right now, kind of shell shock because of the downward move on the board.
All right. I wondered whether you had been moving much grain just as January deliveries had come, but apparently not in your area, or did you take them all in early?
We were taking them in early. Unfortunately, we had quite a bit of space available with the short crop, so we were able to take stuff in early when the weather was a lot nicer.
Does that mean your bids will be expected to be getting better in the near term?
Oh, the bushels are the bushels, and we don't have a whole lot to come in, unfortunately. I wish that would be the case. Now, with the board backing off, it does look like the bean basis might start to see it perk its head up. We've got a really strange situation with a real divergence between old crop and new crop in corn and beans both, and South American beans coming on and running out here in this country.
Yeah, so when we have talked in the past, you've had both a corn train and a bean train that have been headed to odd venues. Is that still going to be the case in the future?
No more traditional today. We're loading a bean train in Paxton today that's going to go to New Orleans or to the Gulf for export, and a corn unit here in Ludlow, and that's going to processors in Tennessee. So more traditional today.
Just offhand, would you normally ship a train all the way to New Orleans, or would it go to the river at some point?
Normally it would go all the way to New Orleans.
Okay, so yes. So the river didn't make any difference to you. Normally you would go by train. What are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.89 on nearby corn and $13.82 on soybeans. Who would think that sounds low historically, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. I understand. Hey, thanks so much.
And thank you.
Have a good weekend. That is Bruce Bostard. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. You can always hear him again at willag.org. I'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Spaghetti Day. Spaghetti pasta dates back at least to the 12th century in southern Italy. In the U.S., spaghetti appeared in a few restaurants around the end of the 1800s. By the way, there are about 600 different shapes of pasta. On this day in agricultural history in 1493, Columbus returned from his first voyage to the New World. Among the passengers, a number of kidnapped American Indians. In 1761, Stephen Hales died, an English botanist. He pioneered the quantitative experimental approach in plant and animal physiology. He demonstrated the importance of air and light in plant growth and the pressure roots exert on sap. In 1846, Edward Johnson was born, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He created the first electric lights on a Christmas tree in 1882. And in 1863, James Plimpton of New York patented the four-wheeled roller skate. Plimpton's rocket skates allowed people to steer just by leaning to the left or right. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report for Friday afternoon. On the phone line, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, to take up the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, not bad outside today. It feels actually pretty good, although it's been really cold overnight, and I guess it's going to continue to be that way for a little bit in our area. What can you tell me?
Yes, that's right. Today it feels pretty good with the sunshine and everything, and it's about 31 degrees outside right now, and tonight low of 19, and tomorrow high of 36. There's a chance of snow later on in the day and on into Saturday night, although the amounts are not going to be too impressive. I think one model showed it as 0.2 inches of snow, so I don't think we'll have to get out the snowblower or anything like that. But there's probably see some snow flurries, maybe a little freezing drizzle there as we move into Saturday night. Sunday will be nice again with mostly cloudy skies and a high of 30, and then Sunday night will be back down into 16. And we get in on the next week, we may actually see highs approaching 40 degrees by Tuesday and Wednesday. So just very overall, the next couple of days out to about 10 days are expected to be above normal on temperature. So it looks fairly mild.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. I like it when the amounts of snow that fall are unimpressive.
That's right.
That makes me happy, I have to admit. What about if you look back at 2012? Anything of interest that piqued your, other than a drought, I suppose.
But that's right.
What kind of year?
Yeah, if you look, it's probably no surprise to anybody. It turned out to be one of our driest years on record. In fact, it was the 10th driest on record. And that's going back to 1895 with our statewide records. And, you know, it was, we had about 30.4 inches, and that's almost 10 inches below normal. So we were pretty short there on the precipitation side. And temperature-wise, we're actually the second warmest on record. In fact, we just missed first place by about a tenth of a degree. So not only was it very dry, but also a very warm year. And I think those are two outstanding features of 2012.
Hey, while I like unimpressive amounts of snowfall, it does create a problem because we're still dry and we're trying to catch up. How close are we?
You know, we're still in many areas 8 to 12 inches down, especially parts of northern, western, and southern Illinois. So I'm really kind of worried about those areas. And, you know, it's very hard to catch up in the wintertime. You know, with the snow, it makes it feel like we get a lot of precipitation in winter. But actually, January and February are our two driest months. We only get about 2 inches each out of those 2 months because once you melt down the snow, there's not that much out there. So it's going to take a while to catch up from the deficits that we've had in 2012.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute. Joins us on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the closing market report. Remember to listen in for Commodity Week. Our guest this week will be Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. We'll have it posted to our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.